supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
The lion may not yet be in full retreat, but the lamb will loom larger early tomorrow afternoon. Let's march forward with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, we're fast approaching a sure sign of spring.
Vernal equinox arrives tomorrow at 12:15, just a few minutes after noon, which is sort of different because we're typically used to having, you know, it start either early in the day or late in the day. But we start right in the middle so we can enjoy the last half day of winter.
What precisely happens at 12:15?
Well, it's actually when the Earth reaches a specific point in its orbit around the Sun that we identify this as the vernal equinox. That's really what it is. At that point, the Earth's rotational axis is oriented in such a way that we end up with equal hours of daylight and darkness right around this time.
And the good news is, even if there is another snowfall or three, it will perhaps melt quicker with the radiation.
Well, that's the really cool thing about this, is the way that orientation goes for us is that the rays of light we're getting from the sun for us are much more direct. So the heating that happens goes up dramatically as time goes on. We also have many more minutes of sunlight, so this portion of the Earth is heating faster also.
The sun is much, much less a factor all the way out of the dwarf planet Ceres. But I understand there are new developments even there.
While it may be less of a factor, it's still having an effect nonetheless. And when we consider that as Ceres orbits around the sun, it's a dwarf planet like the other dwarf planet of our solar system, Pluto, and like the other planets that orbits around the sun. During that circuit, since the orbit is not circular but elliptical, there are points at which that object is closer to the sun than others. So what happens is it actually does have seasons related to its own axial tilt and things like that. What happens, though, is the additional heating that occurs on Ceres reveals the presence of water there someplace. So we now are pretty sure, given the data that comes to us from the Dawn spacecraft that's been orbiting that dwarf planet since 2015, there's probably a significant amount of water frozen into the soil and maybe even layers frozen into the soil just beneath the surface.
Seasons, but those seasons are a lot longer than our Earth's one-year orbit.
Well, they are, because we're now talking about an object that's out beyond the orbit of Mars, so we know it's going to be longer than the two-year orbit that Mars has. But we can certainly see in the data that comes from Dawn that we can observe places where we find water frozen into cliff walls of craters that are hidden from sunlight. We also find that there are cryovolcanoes of what seems to be some sort of a slurry-like material, slushy-like substance. Now, the next questions we have to ask, is there some kind of a water cycle of a liquid or maybe an evaporative type of substance? Then that also leads to the ultimate question always of, what's the possibility for environments that may have been conducive to the development of life at some point?
Lastly, did we miss this NASA launch? Did they send a giant bottle of Visine out to Jupiter to get rid of that great red spot?
I think we did miss that. As it turns out, that giant bottle of Visine might have come from the planet itself. You know, the great red spot that we've been observing out at Jupiter since we've been observing Jupiter with a telescope some 400 years or more, that red spot seems to be changing. And this is one of the things we always have to remember about the solar system, is that things are dynamic. There's always some change going on. Now it turns out that over the last 150 years, we've watched as the red spot has been shrinking. And the thinking is perhaps ultraviolet radiation from the sun, that UV is causing it to fade out from red to much more of an intense orange color. We'll have to keep watching to see what happens in the evolution over time. We know that there are other spots on Jupiter that we can see in the atmosphere. But who knows? Maybe the great red spot will eventually disappear altogether.
Derek, in our remaining moment, what's available to be seen in the night sky this week?
So as we talked about Jupiter just a moment ago, we can find Jupiter in the pre-dawn sky from 5:45 to 6:15 every morning. You'll notice it's with two other planets, Mars and Saturn, and we can watch as Mars overtakes Saturn this week, creeping up a little bit on it day by day. It takes over next week, but we can watch the progress as it moves closer and closer every morning this week. In the evening, we'll find Venus and Mercury in the evening sky. Every night, Venus is rising higher and higher, Mercury sinking lower and lower. This is a great time to keep track of the motion of planets as we whiz by others and catch up with others.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.